Good morning. Dave Weiner here. It's July 4th, 2021. And this project just happened to get to the point where it was ready for review on a national holiday. And so I thought it would be a good time to just, you know, pick up the iPhone and talk a little bit about what the idea is and what it's about. So as you may know, there's been a resurgence in outliner tools and over the last couple of years, and it's starting to become very active, and there's a lot of talk about interop amongst the various developers, not all of them, but enough of them to make it really interesting to be able to create tools that work together, which mean that, you know, one day you might use one tool, another day you might use a different one, or somebody might make a beautiful tree chart renderer for an outline. This is something that has happened before. And then that they would just read the standard format that we use to interchange outlines, and then it would work with all of the outliners. This is sort of the dream. It happens every once in a while that a market gets together and there is this kind of interop. So like there were spreadsheets, there's the web, which brought us HTTP and HTML. There's RSS, of course. And there's also OPML. OPML came out right as RSS was starting to take hold in the late 90s, early 2000s. And it was because we were doing so much with outlines at Userland, because Frontier was basically, while it wasn't built around an outliner, everything in the ecosystem, the Frontier kernel, almost everything was an outline. And we did that by having one really good outliner and having a lot of different ways of hooking it up to data. And that required internally some degree of standardization. And by the late 90s, it was time to think about that outside of our own world. And that's where OPML came from. And at the time we were, you know, RSS was starting to take off, there came a need to have a way of exchanging subscription lists. And since I had this new format that I liked called OPML, I said, why don't we just use that here? And that became a standard. That's why there are millions, I'm guessing, I don't know, many, many thousands of OPML files out there, maybe even millions of them. And all of the RSS aggregators support it because it's how you get new users. They take their subscription list out of the reader that they're using, and it comes out in OPML format, and they give it to the new one, and they can read it, and then the users insist on the export. And, you know, even though a lot of developers probably don't want their users to leave, because the users have the expectation of being able to leave, this creates pressure, and they all end up doing it. There's no one developer that's strong enough to not do it. It's kind of the same reason that you see RSS being so widely adopted amongst podcasting, because nobody has enough users to buck it. They try, but it just never happens. Tech industry would love to do that. Individual players would love to, but they don't have enough power to do it, right? And so what you see happening in the outliner world, right, it's not yet the OPML world, but this is really what I want to see happen here, is that there is one player that is thinking of itself as the world, and that people ought to come into that world to make their software. And of course, yeah, it's a nice gig if you can get it, but it's very much against the user's interest. And no developer wants to do this, right? And because even if the company is that dominant, even is that strong, you're not going to make any money making software that runs in their world. I've been around this over and over on both sides of it, actually. It's not a good way to go. What you're looking for is an environment, a platform that's as open as the web is, where nobody gets to say, hey, you can't be here anymore. Try as hard as they want. Google would like to make it so that they could say that, but they haven't pulled it off yet. And I hope they never do. Anyway, so right now, outlining is still really small. I mean, and it should, and well, I don't know. If it goes the way it went in the 80s, it'll stay small. Because, and I don't want to go into too much detail on this, but the percentage of people in the world that are willing to buy tools for thought, or you even just invest in them, use tools for thought, is relatively small. Because, I don't know, most people don't do a lot of thinking, and if they do thinking, they don't think they need tools to help them organize their thinking, and it's kind of a small thing. The world could use it. My God, if everybody were buying tools for thought, I mean, I would have a lot more hope for the world than I do, but it's just reality. It's the things you build on to outliners that have great appeal. This is what we learned in the 80s. And for that, you know, and by the way, when we did it in the 80s, we did it all inside of our own product. It's called Moore. And it was the follow-on to Think Tank, and it was a huge hit, and it was a huge hit because it did something that even people who don't buy tools for thought need to do, which is presentations. And this was right at the beginning of presentations as being an application for computers, and the market just sucked it down. They loved it, and that was, you know, it was fun. It was great. And it's, my bet is that's going to happen again. And if you want that to happen, if you're a developer, I think you'll be finding the money is there in these kinds of applications that take outlines, but use outlines as a way of composing content that then flows through renderers or processors. You can think of them either as something that's going to take input and make it visual. That's a renderer. Or it's going to process it in such a way that it becomes part of a database that then can be queried in some fashion. Then you can see this is happening all over the place in just really early stages, but it's happening. So this is the time to take stock and interop, basically, and say, fine, look at all the developers here that want to work here. Let's agree on a way for us to move our data around. And it's happening. The discussion is absolutely happening. And I will volunteer. I will nominate OPML. I'll say, look, it's already baked. It's already tested. It is supported in enough places to make it interesting. A lot of the, I don't know what you call them, but, you know, Workflowy supports OPML. Omni Outliner supports OPML. It's really all that's out there. My outliners, OPML, is the native file format in the outliners. So you don't even have to export it. Those were our files are OPML. That's how strongly I am invested in this. But I don't think that you're giving anything up by using OPML, because why do I say that? Because, well, I've spent most of my life working on outliners in one way or another. And I designed this after having, let's say I started in the late 70s, so that would, let's say the 80s and the 90s, that would be 20 years into my experience as an outliner developer is when I developed OPML. And since then, I haven't found anything OPML can't do. So, and if you look, like take a close look at it, you'll see that it really is a fairly general format. And, you know, it's just sort of agreed to, a way to agree to interrupt. And, you know, if something else comes along that is widely supported, I'm not going to be picky. I'll support it too, right? I mean, I've learned that lesson. And I've also learned the power in saying yes. So I'm the kind of person that's not really, I might groan a little bit and say, look, do we really need to do this two ways? Is that really better? You know, and, you know, I'll argue with you about it. But in the end, if you have a product that's got a lot of users and I want to them to be able to use my software, that will not stand in the way of me supporting it. I will. That's a philosophy. It's time proven. It's the right way to go. There really isn't any value in having created the format other than bragging rights, and that isn't really worth anything. Nobody remembers or remembers for what is important about it. So fuck it. Who cares, right? That's what I say. So what did I come out with? Okay, so the OPML package is a package of JavaScript code for Node.js and for browser-based applications for reading and writing OPML, for getting OPML from outside into JavaScript world. What does that mean? It comes in as a JavaScript object. The top level of the object is called OPML. It has two sub-objects called head and body. Head contains a bunch of properties, values, basically, that say that what's the title, all kinds of stuff about it. When was it last modified? When was it created? Who is the owner? Whatever, really. I mean, okay, so that's the head, and the body is the actual hierarchical structure that forms the outline. And basically, it's a bunch of properties, which are the attributes on a headline, followed, and if it contains an object called subs, S-U-B-S, that is an array that contains other outlines. So that's how the hierarchy builds. So there is a call called opml.parse, which, it should sound familiar if you're a JavaScript programmer, because there's JSON.parse, right? And then there's another one, and I want to make sure I get this right. I debated this one. I don't remember. Let's go to... I knew this would happen. Here, I'm going to opmlpackage.js, which is in the repo, and it's called Stringify. Okay, good. I think that's the right answer. So there's opml.parse and opml.stringify. If opml parse takes a bunch of text, which is opml text, and turns it into a JavaScript object, then you would expect Stringify to do the opposite, which is what it does. It takes an object and it turns it into opml text, which is suitable for uploading or for writing to a file, or emailing, or doing whatever you want to, or sending it to a tree chart builder, or a bullet chart builder, or whatever you think of that would be beautiful and wonderful. I mean, go crazy. That's the idea. The idea is to go crazy with creativity and not have the details get in your way. I want to make it super easy for JavaScript developers, and I'll put an asterisk next to that, to be able to read and write OPML files as easily as if they were JSON files. That's it. And the asterisk is not just JavaScript developers, but developers of every language and every environment there is. It should be easy to get this stuff in and out, because I know that outliner developers work in a lot of different environments. And so this is MIT licensed, and please port it, and please also maintain the API so we have a lot of compatibility back and forth. This simple layer should be available everywhere. There are also a couple of extras. I have a thing, and then they're not important, but they're there because to keep you from going crazy when you're working with this stuff, so you have a way of looking at it. So there's opml.htmlify, which, if you think about it, what does it do? It takes an outline object and gives you a nice HTML rendering of it. Nothing fancy, nothing interactive, just give me, some ULs, if you know HTML. And then there's visit all. Visit all is a visit routine, which, as its name implies, will call you back for every node in the outline. And there's an example in there that basically turns the text in every node to uppercase. And then there's also an example where it shows how to change the title of an outline Not that you need this. You don't need it. You could figure it out. But why not just put it there for you? Or what was the other one? It changes the... looking for the comment. I tried to leave enough clues around so it's easy to figure out what's going on. Let's see. I think it's here. I hate it when this happens. Right. And okay, so you can change the title and you can change the text of the third child of the second top level subhead of the United States in the state's outline, which turns out to be North Dakota. And actually, you don't change it. You just get it. But you could change it just as easily. It just shows you how to, you know, access the structure. If you already know even a little bit about programming in JavaScript, you already know how to do this stuff. It's just a JavaScript object. It's no big deal. And that's it. That's all that's there. Nothing complicated. All the source code. In the browser-based code, there are no includes. It's just opml.js. Just put that in your app. You can download it or you can call it on my server if you want. I don't care. These are really small things in the big scheme of things. And I really want this to be easy. I don't want any obstacles in your way. I want it to be super easy for you to be able to do this. And that's why I did it. So, you know, I don't want to, hopefully nobody's feelings will be hurt. I know there are other ways to do OPML in JavaScript. I just want it to be easy all in one place. And it's just that. That's all. And I do build on other toolkits in the Node.js implementation. You can go look at the package.json file to see how that works. And that's it. I'll have a lot more to say in the future, but this is what we're doing. And I'm excited about it. I'm glad we got to this place. And if you're seriously interested about adding OPML support to your software, then I look forward to interoperating with your product. And you'll be able to interoperate with mine. And that's the way it's supposed to work. Anyway, thanks for listening. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.